One thing that I find very interesting is that we often reach that point of burnout while in a corporate scenario. We leave that, we start our own thing, and then we recreate that system within our business.
Yeah.
And so instead of working 9 to 5 and hustling and burning out, you're working 7 a.m. to midnight for yourself and hustling and burning out.
Welcome back to the Making Money Podcast, where we talk about how to make more money, keep what you make, and make your money work harder for you. I am your co-host, Benjamin Foss, and sitting across from me, as always, is Paul, the wonderful entrepreneur and business owner. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing very well, Ben. Thank you.
Are you getting out of the drowning of tax forms, or are you still buried?
I'm buried.
You're buried?
I am buried until April 15th, and then I'll unbury for a week, and then I'll bury again until November 15th, which people don't realize that the procrastinators go all the way through to November, which includes the nonprofits.
Wow. Well, no rest for the wicked, I guess.
No, but a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I enjoy my clients and enjoy what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. And today we have a very special guest, Allison. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me.
We're really excited to have you on because we're talking, you know, it's like several weeks in a row where we're branching out with our guests into new topics that we have not yet covered on the show. So last week we talked a lot about AI, and the week before that we talked about business scaling with Jen. And now we're going to dive into some of what you do, which is really exciting. But before we get into all of that, give us a little bit of background on you. What is your education like, and what has drawn you into the entrepreneurial space?
Great. So I find, like most entrepreneurs, in a way, it's that life is just happening to you. But I think I've been noticing lately, and let me know if this is also your story, that many entrepreneurs realize pretty early on or partway into their journey in a 9 to 5, that the system that's set up for most of us is just not going to work for them. And that was absolutely my story. I started college and really quickly realized that I was not going to be doing what life had and society had set out for me and had expected of me. And I find that this is the journey of many entrepreneurs, is just realizing that the 9 to 5 corporate hustle was just not going to be my story. And so I had a pretty unconventional early 20s. I traveled a lot. I lived out of a van in Hawaii. I really was prioritizing my overall health and well-being. And I have no regrets for that at all. But it really set the stage for me really not knowing what I was doing with my life. But I knew that I was never going to be working a 9 to 5. I was never going to step into corporate. So that leaves very few options for me. And I never imagined myself being a business owner, but I have so many of the skills that it takes to be a business owner. I think a lot of times we think we need to go to business school and understand how to build and scale a business before we even dip our toes in. And so life just sort of happened to me, and before I knew it, I realized that I owned two businesses. So it was never something I set out to do, but that happens to many of us, I think.
Tell me about the ambition that you have for being an entrepreneur, because a lot of times people have the fear factor, and you know, being like-minded as we are, and now having two businesses, I think our listeners would love to hear about how the ambition started versus the uninterested part about the regular world of 9 to 5.
Absolutely. And that's an amazing question, because I do feel like a lot of people have that fear factor. And a lot of people that I talk to that are looking to start a business, that is the biggest setback, is the, oh, well, how do you handle this? Or what do you do in X, Y, and Z scenario? I think that I kind of dropped the fear factor a while ago. Part of that was really due to a history of intense depression, and really like putting myself into this box. And when I broke free from that and I realized that I should live a life based around my happiness, my overall well-being, I think that I stopped prioritizing a lot of that fear. I really was in a space where I was going to make it work for me or I wasn't. And either way, it was going to be okay. And I am also just a naturally kind of ambitious person. I didn't realize that really until recently, how much of a systems girly I am. I really am a doer. I do not procrastinate. I am very motivated throughout my personal life, just the way that I move through the world, which definitely plays really well into being an entrepreneur. I would say that it is not required to be an entrepreneur, but I realized that a lot of the skills that make us function through our day-to-day life as an entrepreneur have come really innately to me. That being said, of course, there's an entire other set of skills that I have had to teach myself in learning to be an entrepreneur. So I hope that answers the question. But really, I think that it's about dropping the expectations and what society expects of you, so that you can, you know, live a life of resonance and build a business because you want to live life differently and because you can prioritize that happiness and well-being.
I love that. I love the fact that your open-mindedness allows you to create versus letting what the norm society dictates what you create.
Mm-hmm.
I want to double-click in on something because I think you hit a couple really powerful points that a lot of entrepreneurs can really relate to. And I think most of us in our journey in starting businesses or even just in life, like many of us have hit those fulcrum points or those pivot points where you something is driving you crazy, whether or you're miserable or you're depressed or a crisis happens, like something dramatic takes place in your life that reshapes your thinking, like almost out of necessity, to where you go like, I just need to do this. You know, and I've had moments like that in my life where I was like damn near bankrupt and just overwhelmed with financial stress and all that. And I was like, this, I've got to do something different. Right. And for you, that was like feeling that emotional weight and that heaviness. But I think for many people, you know, sometimes we work so hard to try and suppress those feelings because they don't feel good. Right. But then we end up delaying and piling up, like those feelings, they just build. Like my old therapist used to tell me, like emotions never go away. You know, you can try and suppress them, but they will just build and grow and grow. And eventually it'll become so loud that you can't ignore them anymore. And a lot of times those feelings are trying to tell us like, hey, something's not right here. Like there's something that in our lifestyle, in our work, in our relationships, in what, like whatever it may be that like needs to be addressed. And I think it's awesome that you sort of recognized what that shift needed to be. And it sounds like it worked out really well for you.
It did. And that's really well said, Ben. And I think that we see that so often in our working lives, personified as burnout. And so I think that when we are pushing through the emotions, we're not paying attention to the body, the mind, the spirit, whatever aspect of self that it is. So many people are just on the edge of burnout perpetually for their entire career, for years, for months, whatever that might be. And I think we see so many people that are normalizing that. I think that our culture really normalizes that. We are very much in a hustle forward culture. I think that that's relatively unacceptable. It's terrible for the human experience. But I do think that we see that as burnout. And I definitely had an experience of burnout right before I became an entrepreneur, as many people do, working so hard for somebody else and realizing that I was pushing past all of my boundaries. I was continually pushing myself to the edge in my physical body, not sleeping well, emotionally, completely overriding my entire experience so that I could function and be successful. And I was making the most money I ever had. I was doing the best that I had ever done in my business life. And I was the most miserable I had ever been. And I find that I've talked to so many people that are in that place presently. And One thing that I find very interesting is that we often reach that point of burnout while in a corporate scenario. We leave that, we start our own thing, and then we recreate that system within our business.
Yeah.
And so instead of working 9 to 5 and hustling and burning out, you're working 7 a.m. to midnight for yourself and hustling and burning out. It's something I've been reflecting on lately. So,
do you think the long hours and persistence, clearly, how do you feel that has shaped you? Because we hear the word burnout, but also ambition and also the excitement, I think, for being your own boss, I think, gives us our drive.
Yes, I totally agree. That excitement does give a lot of drive. And I think that excitement is one of the main drivers in life, regardless of whether we're talking about business or personal life. I have had to put very strong boundaries on myself for when I allow myself to work. And that is very much because I'm an all or nothing person, as a lot of us are.
I wrestle with that too. Yeah, I'm like, I just like swing from the extremes and I have a hard time finding that happy middle.
Right, absolutely. And I, we've touched on this earlier, but innately I am a very driven person. I love getting things done. And so when I'm in the groove and when I want to be getting things done, if I don't set those boundaries for myself, I will do it 24/7. And so I do think, yeah, it's very interesting. The excitement of working for yourself is enough to push you through and push you over the edge. And so I have to continually check in with myself. And I think that that is a very powerful tool for all people and entrepreneurs, is to have a real check-in and get real with myself. I do great work on my website and on my business after dinner, like 8 to 10 p.m. And if I do that work at that time, my sleep is completely disrupted. My brain is trying all night long to solve business problems. They're for people that I went to middle school with, because the subconscious brain is building out all these weird. But I've realized that even though I like working at that time and I get good stuff done, it's really impacting my sleep, for example. So I think it's realizing and getting real with yourself and checking in and recognizing what's really serving you in business versus what is that kind of addiction to the excitement of making more money, being more successful, being your own boss, whatever version of it it is.
I like the way you kind of clarified that the excitement of working from 8 to 10 is great because I can be so productive. But then here's the aftermath of working so much, is that, you know, the detriment of lack of sleep or the detriment of inconsistent sleep, because the mind is still going and it's bringing up subconscious things. And I don't think many of us look at that as a problem until it starts to affect you emotionally and mentally. The physical body can always persevere. A little caffeine here or whatever it is. But a lot of times I think we lose ourselves in the inertia of the excitement of work. But we forget, you know, we need to come first before the work comes first, because what good are you if you're not good to somebody else?
I heard a therapist once say that, like, if you just go for so long, then you take a break. Sometimes there's a brief period where you're actually more miserable because all the emotion that you've been outrunning catches up to you. And then you have to actually work through all of that before you can get back to a place of equilibrium and peace. But the instinct can be, well, just let me just go back to running 100 miles an hour because that felt better, but it's not really sustainable. And so I've had to do this with myself, of recognize, okay, I need a break. It's going to suck for a minute because there's stuff that's going to catch up and I got to work through that. But then on the other side of it is like the goal of the more holistic care that I'm trying to take care of myself, you know, in that entrepreneurial journey, because there's like, you're not going to do your family or your loved ones any good if you're burning yourself out so much that you want to just quit entirely. Right. So it's like, you got to find that happy medium and that pace. And it sounds like you've done a great job of that. And I think, you know, the thing is like to recognize is that there's no formula that works for every person. everyone is going to have a different capacity for what they can handle, for what they want to handle. Like, I like working a lot, you know, it's not always, but sometimes, but like, I like being busy. Some people, they want to work 12 hours a week and, you know, have a lot of recreation time. That's not for me. I get bored with recreation. I want to build something. I want to make something happen, you know, which is like very entrepreneurial of me. But there's a balance because, you know, like we talked about the extremes, the all or nothing. So, but it sounds like you've done a good job of finding that out for yourself. And I think it's really powerful that you are not just relying on someone else's formula to figure out what works for you, but actually really experimenting and figuring out that for yourself. And it's really individually tailored to each one of us.
Absolutely. And so well said. And that therapist was absolutely right, that the self-reflection and all the stuff that's chasing you that gets to catch up to you when you slow down is really uncomfortable. It's really painful. And you do have to sit through it in order to move forward. And I think, you know, you said that you're not doing anyone in your family or you're in your close circle any favors by continually hustling. But I would also argue that you are doing your business a great disservice when you are pushing through and not being present with yourself. And especially for those that have a personal brand and need to show up in their business, if you are not taking that time to sit in stillness and reflect and be aware of where your business is, where you are in relation to the rest of the world and the rest of your life, your business will suffer because of it. And you might not see that in your numbers this year or in the next 5 years, but definitely over the next decade or the next two decades of business, if you continually run from these things that are trying to catch up with you, you really are going to pay the price for that.
For sure. Did you want to follow up?
I agree with you 100% because we can go a mile a minute. And as long as you're able to make yourself work that hard, but eventually it catches up to you. You know, during an example for me as a person that's in the world of tax right now, it's difficult because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock to literally get on a phone call with the East Coast at 6 o'clock and start my journey for the day right there. And then the next thing I know, I have to be in the shower by 7 o'clock because the 8 o'clock client shows up over here, and it's every hour on the hour on the hour. And I get burnt out, but I make myself do it again the next day and the next day. And it's short lived. It's 12 weeks out of the year of perseverance, and I'm good with that. But it does catch up with you. And I do agree that, you know, it takes a toll at times, and you have to take the time to let yourself decompress. And you definitely need to let yourself have that freedom of, I'm not attached to my phone, or I'm attached to my computer. And anyone who knows me, I'm attached 24/7. So I will answer your text at 2 a.m. I will respond to your email at 3 a.m. because if I hear a ding, I'll automatically go, okay, it's something important. But I've been learning how to use this wonderful do not disturb button on my phone. I didn't even know it existed literally 3 weeks ago.
And now I was just going to say, there's a way to switch that off.
There is. And now I know how to do that. I mean, I can literally turn the phone off. I get it. But, you know.
And do not disturb is great.
It is.
Because you can also set it up to where, you know, so I have my family on the favorites list, and if they call me twice within 5 minutes, it'll push through.
Yep.
So if there's an actual emergency, I'll still get it. Whereas if the phone is off, there's nothing they can do.
Right.
So, you know, the technology has made it a lot easier to set very specific boundaries if you know how to use the tools.
Yes.
But speaking of trying to build businesses that we actually want to run, your business actually is in the business of helping other businesses and other entrepreneurs outsource certain tasks and helping them build businesses that they actually love and that they want to run. So tell us a little bit about your business and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is so rewarding to be in that space of helping other people run businesses in a way that works for them. So I started a boutique virtual assistant agency in 2022. And that really stemmed from, like I said, a space of burnout working for somebody else. I was doing a very similar thing, working as a personal assistant in person for someone in Los Angeles running around like a madwoman, and realized that while I was really great at a lot of those aspects, I didn't want to be working in that capacity. And as soon as I heard the term virtual assistant, there was a something in my brain that was unlocked. And I said, wow, that is what I'm already doing. It's something that I'm really great at. It's something that I can do from anywhere in the world, that I can scale and grow, and I can still help a lot of people. And so the virtual assisting is absolutely incredible. It has given me an amazing front row seat into so many people's lives. I'm working with executives, small business owners, and as a systems girl, I really love being able to look into the way that people are running their lives. And it is wildly rewarding to help people reshape the way that they are running their lives. So as you can probably tell from our conversation so far, that is something I am so passionate about. I take great pride in being able to give people their time back. A lot of people just don't realize that that's an option. And I talk to many entrepreneurs that are moving in that direction of realizing how important delegation is. It is one of the most important tools in your tool belt as an entrepreneur. And it is also one of the most overlooked. Yes. And I think part of that is because it is so scary. As an entrepreneur, it's like you are the one who starts the thing. You're the one who does the thing, executes the thing, makes it all happen. And for most businesses, you are running the show. And to give a part of that away is incredibly vulnerable for many reasons. You know, your income could be affected. Your personal appearance out in the world could be affected.
The reputation of the business.
The reputation of the business.
Yes, I can attest to that one.
Yeah, it is. It's very much an ego thing, but it has a lot of reasoning behind it. You know, there are reasons to be afraid of letting go. And it is one of the most beautiful, painful parts of life and is so crucial to let go. And that's okay, definitely Elsa, something I'm passionate about.
Saying let it go.
I know, let it go. But seriously, I think that a lot of entrepreneurs should probably wake up in the morning and play that song, because we hold so tightly onto how we want to do business that we often never take a look around to see whether or not the way we want to do business is the right way to run our business.
Let's let our audience know, what is a virtual assistant and literally how does it work? I actually just learned the term during COVID, in all honesty. You know, I've never had to deal with it, work with it, talk about it. But during COVID, all these terminologies that have been around for a while have now all of a sudden become crucial, you know, such as contactless pay. I actually had no idea what that was until literally COVID. And I had to download these apps because people are wanting to pay. And I was like, I don't even know what it is. How do I get it? So yeah, let's talk about what it is that you do.
Great. And very similar experience. Like I said, when I first heard that term, I mean, we all knew that a virtual assistant was, you know, maybe happening on the phone and it was like a little robot that would respond to you, like pre-good AI when
I always hate those things. Oh, like, give me a human.
Honestly. Right.
Zero, zero,
exactly.
Zero.
Customer service, representative.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, that's why I still do that.
I know. Every day. So I heard the term virtual assistant and it really unlocked something for me. And so for those who don't know what a virtual assistant is, it is essentially your Girl Friday, your personal assistant, your business assistant, your secretary sitting at the front desk of your office, except they're showing up for you remotely, which I think we all became much more familiar with during COVID, the concept that you could have an office team, you can have people in your life and not have them sitting with you at the table or sitting in your office. And so a virtual assistant is essentially an assistant, whether they're personal life or business, that is not anywhere near you, and is still able to take care of a ton of tasks in your business. Pretty much everything other than like picking up your dry cleaning, a virtual assistant can take care of, because we live in such a digital world these days, as we know. Most things do not have to happen in person. So yeah.
Now, it sounds like what you're describing is primarily people, right? Virtual assistants. Have you put any thought into, you know, we were just talking about AI last week, mm-hmm. and there's these agents now that people are building out that can take sales calls and set up appointments and do a lot of things. One of my clients recently introduced an AI bot that answers the phone for them, and I can talk to them and say, like, transfer me to this person, or I want to talk to this department, and it does it pretty smoothly. Are you starting to thinking about, like, starting to incorporate some of those technologies, or how do you see the rise of those technologies affecting your business model moving forward?
That's a good question. I think that we are all about to be very, very impacted by AI. That being said, I am a huge proponent for AI. I use AI every day. Honestly, I think that it is an amazing tool to be used, just as delegation is a tool to be used. Artificial intelligence is a tool to be used. I'm a huge proponent for it, which many people might find shocking because it is kind of a field where a lot can be done now by AI. I find that my business is secure because there will always be components that need to be handled by a human. And I am very much here to teach my clients how to use AI. Whenever we can use automations and technology to make business easier, I think we should do it. And there will always be human aspects that are better kept human. A huge part of my agency is that it is very focused on that boutique. Everyone that I hire is domestic. And so I have honed in on a niche of virtual assisting that is very high end. It is very personal. It is very high touch. That is not the best fit in virtual assistants for everybody. And I am like, here to tell you that if you want to hire someone abroad and pay a lower salary, I think that's incredible if that's what works for your business. But I think that there are a lot of people that have tasks that they really want to hand off to someone that is domestic, that can be very intimate in their lives and be a high touch part of their business or their personal life. And that's where I find the business security for my company. So yeah, things are changing. I can do tasks 10 times faster with AI. Yeah. And I trust that every virtual assistant across the world can. You really need to learn how to use these tools if you haven't. And that being said, there's still something to say about using real people, especially in communication with your clients.
Yeah. And it's still, we're still a ways away from these AI tools being able to actually, like, take control of a computer and do complex tasks unsupervised. Mm-hmm. You can, if you pay for, you know, some of these subscriptions, either ChatGPT or other softwares, you can build these agents that can, like, one of the, like, popular ones that's gone around social media is the guy who arranges, so, like, people who want to get rid of pianos. A lot of times they actually will pay to get rid of the piano because it's big and heavy and expensive to move. And so he's literally just out there just arrange, sending messages to say, hey, give me $75 and we'll come collect this piano this week or whatever. And this AI is doing it, but he still has to supervise it, you know, along many steps of the way. And it's stopping and be like, am I okay to proceed? Like checking in all the safeguards and stuff. So we're still a ways away. Whereas like an executive assistant can actually do those things. You can describe a task and be like, hey, I want you to order this or send this email to this person, follow up, set this appointment, whatever it may be. And there's still a pretty big gap between what humans can do when it comes to things that require controlling a computer versus just an LLM, like a chatbot spitting out a response to a query, or a phone assistant just taking a call. You know, it's encroaching, right? But there's still a pretty big gap there. So my kind of next question to you is, who are the primary clients that you are serving? Because you've mentioned sort of sounds like two sides. You've got the executive assistants for the personal side and then for the business. So which is there one that's kind of more primary than the other for your business?
Technically, business assisting is the bigger part of it. Part of this is that so many people realize that they have a couple tasks on their plate that they really need to hand off to someone. And if they hand them off to someone that they really trust and they enjoy working with, they suddenly find that they also have a dozen other tasks sitting on all of the other plates.
And they need to be offloaded.
It starts with one pain point and then you feel the relief and you're like, oh, wait, there's all these other pain points. You have all of this. Congratulations.
Absolutely. And that is part of why I find security in my company, regardless of AI, is that when you really trust someone and you can have that personal connection, suddenly you have a lot of stuff that you can give them. I think that honestly, it ends up being a 50-50 split at the end of the day, because people who come in for personal life help suddenly realize that, oh, you can also respond to my customers, or people who come in just for inbox management and calendar management realize that they need their family vacation planned and they do not feel like doing that. And suddenly they have someone in their life that they can give that to. So it's an interesting split, but a lot of people realize that they really need both, because most of us do.
Do you have executive assistants that are doing both, like for the same person?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. And of course, that's always, a conversation to have. If you are being paid through a corporation, if someone's, paying the virtual assistant through their corporation, there might be a line where it's like, hi, I want 5 hours a week paid under the corporation, but I also love you and I want to pay you for 2 hours a week just to handle my personal life stuff. So most people do end up wanting both. And it's all about, a communication of how that works from a financial perspective and where they want to draw those lines for themselves.
What is the two industries that you, or the two businesses that you do? I mean, I understand the one is the virtual assistant, but what is the other side of this?
Sure. And
are they two separate companies? Or?
They are two separate companies, and thank you for asking. So as I was building out my virtual assistant agency, like I said, I really got an incredible front row seat into what makes people tick, what systems work for them, what strategies work for them, really seeing into the intimate nitty gritty of what makes someone, successful and happy and balanced in their life versus spinning their wheels and their business is essentially a passion project because it's not making them any income. They don't have the systems and strategies. And so I decided to start a coaching business where I work with small business owners to teach them the systems and strategies that I have seen proven to work for all of my clients in the VA business. And so taking essentially those secrets to success, that secret sauce that I see really setting those apart that are successful, happy versus spinning their wheels, and creating a coaching program to teach that to women in small business so that they can skip all of the chaos and hopefully have successful businesses based on the strategies that I've seen other people doing.
I love this. And so the coaching, is that a Zoom or is it over the phone, or how do you do a coaching session with somebody? I'm curious about this.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, being a virtual assistant and running a virtual assistant agency, I've become completely addicted to being able to do things from anywhere in the world. I have worked and ran my business from many, many different countries from all over the US. And so I don't plan on doing anything in person, strictly in person. For quite some time. You never know what the future holds.
I love that.
But it is incredible. Last year I spent a month in New Zealand and I was able to run a business from down under on the other side of the world. Yeah. And
I'm jealous. I cannot run my business from anywhere but here because I have to be here physically.
We're going
to
get you on a vacation. But I have become so committed to my own well-being and my own balance. And I love travel. And I think it's important to look at how we're structuring our business to align with the life we want to live. Yeah. I know that I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to drop everything and go be with family when there's family emergencies. And so I am committed to running everything virtually. And so right now that means I'm running everything on Zoom. There are, of course, many platforms that you can use to make this happen. But I do think that video is crucial for that human element. Which I imagine you thought about as you were getting us in front of the camera. It is amazing to be able to hear someone's voice, and it is a totally different experience to be able to see them as you're speaking to them. And I think that we all became very in love with that over COVID when we were far away from our loved ones or far away from our team. To be able to see someone while you're talking to them is really important. So I think it's really an interesting blend of bringing in that human element to a business that is completely virtual.
I'm very fascinated by this because I literally, I kid you not, this is even funnier. So during COVID, you know, people started using Zoom and Google Chat and blah, blah, blah. I still didn't even touch it literally until last year. And when I was like forced to, because I had clients who were like, we have to do this virtually. There's no way that I can get over there. And I was like, okay, I guess I have to download this and figure out how to use this because I'm so technically challenged. It's pathetic. So I've gotten adapt to it now. So now I do a lot of things on Zoom, and I still love to see my clients in person. So I will fly out all over this summer, as I do like every summer, and I'll make my 5 to 7 trips and go visit multiple people and eat great food. And, you know, I'm still an in-person, hands-on as much as I can. But I am so marveled at how much can be done with literally being on a virtual platform, and learning more that, you know, you have created this whole platform that is functioning very well. And I have not been able to let go of that control. Mm-hmm. So one of these days, you know, my Girl Friday, which is a real Girl Friday because that's what she does, that's her company, I will not need her, which is totally fine. And maybe I'll move on to, you know, outsourcing, and maybe I'll have you coach, because, you know, I do a lot of coaching myself, but I have one mentor, and my mentor is going to be retiring in the very near future. So who knows? This might be a great start to a new development of, you know, working together.
Yeah. Well, I'm always happy to teach people about delegation. And truly, that is a huge part of what I do in my coaching. And many people are surprised at how much coaching that really, really takes. But like I mentioned earlier, delegating and letting go is such a huge bump in your entrepreneurial journey. And once you're over that hump, like, oh my God, brand new horizons for you, let me tell you. But getting over that is really, really hard. It is hard to let go. And so I definitely focus on that a lot in my coaching.
I want to hear some of the biggest pushbacks that you get, the resistances related to the delegation thing. You know, like the one that comes to my mind most readily is the, like, well, it won't be as good. It won't be done as well as me doing it, right? That's like the number one thing. But what are some other like common things that you have to overcome? And then what are the overcomes that you use to try and help people see the light, as it were?
I mean, the one you mentioned is a huge one, is no one can do it as well as I can. And that's just not true. It's not true. You know, there are things that only you can uniquely do. That is absolutely true. But there are so many people out there that can do the things as well as you, if not better. And especially when you focus on specializing, you know, if you're sitting there trying to write the copy for your landing pages and for your social media posts, and you're running a business and doing X, Y, and Z, chances are you haven't spent the last decade studying copy and social media. And so when you realize that you can delegate to someone that specifically just does the one thing, it's really empowering. And I think as entrepreneurs, we want to do at least a dozen different things. And to realize that, like, wow, one of those things I can just give to someone that only does that thing, and they will probably do it better. I also see people really hesitating to invest in delegation. We have so many business investments that we have to make on a regular basis, whether you're paying for rent for your studio, whether you're paying for the software that you need to navigate your life, whether you have employees that are essential for other tasks. It is an investment. And of course, you can decide how much you want to invest. If you want to export that and have a lower investment, if you want to pay someone to be on nearly full time that's, you know, right down the street and is domestic, you can kind of vary how much your investment is. But a lot of people are really scared because, you know, you can do it. You're already doing it. You're already doing all of those tasks. So you have this proven experience of like, I don't need to pay someone to do this. I can do it. And it's realizing that my pushback there is always that when you're not delegating, when you're not investing in delegation, you are really limiting your potential to step into your role as the CEO of your business.
Yes. Because it's not always a question of can I do it? It's what could I be doing instead?
What could I be doing instead?
You know? That's exactly. And that's why it, like then. We've talked before about like, you know, if you value your time at X dollars per year, just take your annual salary divided by 2,000, you know, roughly 40 hours a week, 2,000 hours a year. That is what your time is worth. And if you can outsource a task like getting your house cleaned or stuff with virtual assistants for less than that, then you should be doing that. So you could do either quality time with family or working on the tasks that really you should be the one doing. Cause like you said, like stepping into that CEO role rather than, you know, just keeping the wheels turning, which is like something that other people can be doing. But one of the things that I think is like part of this, you've kind of alluded to this arc and I just wanted to hit on it because we talked about it a couple weeks ago. So when you're an employee, you are wearing like a hat usually, you know, unless you're in a really small business, you have a specific role and task. And then when you step out into that entrepreneur role, you have to wear all the hats because it's just you or you and a partner or whatever. And you get used to having all of that in your control, right? And you're used to having that. But then you have to almost reverse mindset again to delegating and getting yourself into a narrower role. And it's this weird transition from narrow role to everything to back to narrower role as the company grows. And it's a very difficult mental hurdle for a lot of people to get through.
It is. It really, really is. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs take pride in being able to do everything. Especially, you know, if you were limited in the past into your one role and your one hat, suddenly it's like, wow, look how many hats I can juggle. You know, I'm an entrepreneur and I can do X, Y, and Z, and I know how to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And you're so right that it is such a hurdle to, it's honestly, it's as much as growing your business, learning to shrink your own role and streamline the business is the other side of that hurdle. And that's really where I specialize, is helping people step back from that and drop some of those hats and do it in a way that's comfortable for them. And it is. And I think a part of it that is very empowering for people is realizing that, you know, if you were the CEO of a big tech company, you wouldn't even be allowed to handle all of the other little moving parts. Your one role is to be the CEO. You are focused on the growth of the company. You are focused on the finances and where money is being spent. Your big picture goals for the company are fully falling on you. And I think that is a really empowering place to be as an entrepreneur, to realize that you don't actually have to wear all the hats to make the business work. You are suddenly the mastermind of the whole show. And you have been this whole time, but suddenly that can be your one job and you can get paid to do it. And you will see your business grow because you are empowered to step into that position.
And you're going to probably love your job more.
You will love your job more. I guarantee it. And I feel like a huge part of it is just getting people to mentally slap that sticker onto their business of I'm the CEO, you know, put that in your LinkedIn bio, like CEO and founder of,
and it holds a lot of weight too. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I agree 100%. And I also believe that, you know, as a entrepreneur who started a business and who's owned a business, I feel it's always important that the founder and owner or CEO understands everything in their business, but they don't have to do it all, like you said. It's taken a long time for me to understand what that really means, But it's really important, I feel, that, you know, as you're coaching and as people are listening, take into consideration how much time you can free up, like we've been talking about. I look at it as an opportunity to be able to do the hobbies that you want to do. I literally take the time to go out and do something that doesn't require you to sit behind that desk and oversee everything. You know, it's taken a long time that for me to even get there. And I can take 3-hour lunches and not really bat an eye. Or, you know, I can go off and fly off for 5 days. And the only thing I really worry about are my dogs okay? You know, that's sad.
That's what we
say.
Have Angela for.
Yeah, this is right. We have Angela. But I feel, you know, everything that your company offers is so strategic, you know, and so integral for a lot of us who are entrepreneurs. You know, I feel one day that, you know, Ben's probably going to need one as he progresses and grows. And
I've already been thinking about it.
Yeah.
I've already thought about it. Yeah.
You know, I have live assistants at this point, and I've been toying with the thought of outsourcing to other countries. It's a big question mark only because AI has taken over so much of the data entry part of what I do. But it still needs to be overseen, like Ben said. So I feel that, you know, the inspiration that you give our listeners is wise consult. You know, I think hearing it from someone who's been in the, I got a light bulb, and now the light bulb's turned into reel, and the reel's turned into now I can teach, you know, and empower others. I think that is so important. And I love it when I see other entrepreneurs get excited about, let me show you instead of here, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. You know, showing and telling are two different things, as we know, you know, it's like pointing the finger. But I love the way that your energy behind it, how it sparked and how it grew. I think our listeners are, you know, it'll empower a lot of them. My next question I have is really, where do you see you going with this? Is this something that's just going to be a one-man show with these virtuals, or are you going to bring in other live people so that you have a live partner next to you?
That is an amazing question. And I think truly I do not know what the future holds for myself, for my business. I would down the road really like to do some in-person events. Sarah Ackerman, who you have on the show regularly, is my best friend. I'm so fortunate for that. And we often talk about doing in-person retreats to bring people in and be able to sit in a room with them. And I think that that will be a beautiful balance to what I imagine is going to be a mostly virtual business for me. I can't imagine ever leasing an office building. I don't know why I would make that investment when everyone is not coming into my office. I love having a team of virtual assistants, knowing that they are probably happy in their life the same way that I am, being able to work remotely, that I don't care if they have to fly and see grandma in Florida or they want to go on vacation to China for the summer. You can be anywhere you want in the world. And I think that that makes people a lot happier. And when you have an assistant that is genuinely living a happy life, they're going to do a better job. And that's, of course, the truth with employees. And for you as the entrepreneur, it's just when you foster a good work environment where people are able to attend to their values as a human being, you get better output. And so I never want to look at anyone within my company and tell them that I expect them to show up in ways that I myself don't show up. I've drawn really healthy boundaries for myself in my business and what I'm willing to do. And I want to make sure that anyone I ever work with in partnership or as an employee or a contractor also has those same values. And I often fight people to say, no, this is the healthy boundary that we're drawing. And I don't want you to have to cross that ever in business.
So are you, how are you finding virtual assistants, right? Because you're sort of connecting the people who need the help with the help, which is usually used for maids, but you know what I mean? Like with the assistants, people need assistance with the assistants. So what is your screening process like? What are some of the qualities that you're looking for in these people? And then as you are bringing them on, like, are you able to, how many hours are you able to give them at first? Like, I guess it's, because you, like you said, some people may only need 5 hours a week or something. And so then theoretically, a virtual assistant could be working with 10 different people or 15 different people.
Right.
But that's a ramp up, right? Because you have to get new clients. So how does that whole process work?
Yeah, that's an amazing question. So I source people mostly, honestly, from Facebook, reaching out into Facebook groups of entrepreneurs that I trust and saying, does anybody have a virtual assistant that they like and they trust? And just getting on the phone with people and or a Zoom call, really, you know, is so crucial.
So is that outreach happening once you have someone with a need, or are you being proactive so you have someone ready to go?
I'm proactive. Okay. And I find that being proactive in business is almost always the best choice.
Yeah, it's needed. Yeah.
So I, at all times, have a handful of people who are ready to take on any extra hours. And I think that, you know, communication is the biggest part of that. And I always enter into the initial call, letting them know, I am not offering you a position right now. I'm not hiring you on as an employee. I do not have something waiting for you. What I want is for you to be there so that I can offer you packages and you can accept them or not. That is 100% up to you. So I always let people know, like, I want you to thrive in your own business. And I'll say that most of these virtual assistants are running their own virtual assistant business of some sort. So they're contracting, maybe they have a part-time position, and they would love to just have a little supplemental something extra coming in. And part of being the agency is I take a lot of the stress of finding people off of their plate. You know, that's the benefit of running the agency is I'm handing you opportunities that you don't have to go fishing for. And I'll also take care of any of the like client back and forth, invoicing, all of that nitty gritty that a lot of people don't want to deal with. So it's always about getting on a call. And really, it's interesting because a virtual assistant doesn't need any type of qualifications or certifications to be good at their job. And so I'm always probing and asking questions about how they handle certain situations, how they handle client interaction. Of course, it's a lot of, you know, looking and seeing that they have 10 years of admin experience on their resume. That's great, you know, but a lot of it is just being resourceful. It's always a red flag when I'm like, you know, how do you use technology or AI in your life? And they're, oh, I don't use AI. I'm like, huh, really? We could be doing things a lot more efficiently. And, you know, I just want people to be upfront with me and how they handle their lives and their client interactions. So really it's getting a feel for how innovative a person can be is really the biggest quality that I'm looking for in a virtual assistant is, can they learn a new task? Because really, you should be able to take any task that's thrown at you and leverage technology to figure out how to do it effectively. So yeah, that's like a portion. I feel like I'm blabbing, but great. That only answers a portion of your question.
We could go for like 2 hours, and but, you know, we have we don't want to keep you for too long, but thank you so much for coming. This is like really insightful and helpful and informative. And if people want to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Yeah. So, two different websites for two different companies. If you are looking for a virtual assistant to take things off of your plate, it's allisonassists.me. So Allison, two L's in the Allison, allisonassists.me. That'll bring you to my website where you can chat with me and I will match you with a virtual assistant on my team. And then my coaching is sheworksincycles.com. So that's all about the cyclical nature of being a woman in business and being able to build your business in a way that serves you and can be done on repeat with our systems, our automations and strategies. So sheworksincycles.com. Either way, you can reach out on a form and get in contact with me, and I can answer any questions. But I'll just say that, you know, your energy, your time are the only non-renewable resource. And so when it comes to delegation, you should always invest. I'm not saying invest with me. It might not be the best fit for you, but your energy and your time are non-renewable. And so as a business owner, protect those things. Your business will thrive and you will be so much happier for it.
I love that. And we will put links to both of those websites in the description, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts or whatever medium you are listening to this right now. We will have that in the description to make sure that you have access, because Allison's awesome and sounds like you really care a lot about doing a good job, you know, and doing quality work and know what it takes to succeed. So, I mean, I would trust you with my virtual assistant needs for sure. And I think our audience should as well. Well, Allison, well, maybe we'll have to have you come back another time to dive into this more, because there's so many more questions we could ask and talk about. But this has been really great. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. I appreciate you both taking the time to be here with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you all for listening. We appreciate you tuning in. Let us know in the comments how a virtual assistant could be beneficial in your business and in your life. And we will see you in the next one.